and we want to break it. Well, what do you mean responsible? If he's innocent of murder, how could he be responsible for their murder? In the courtroom in the second trial, the lawyer is calling him a liar. He's a killer. He's a murderer. Well, wait a minute. Say no judge didn't say, wait a minute, you can't say that because he's been, you know, called innocent of that. But the judge is saying, he's a murderer. He's a killer. Well, wait, if he's that, then we don't need compensatory damages, we need the gas chamber. But if he's not that, why you permit them to call him that? How could the judge accept that in a court of law? When in another court of law, he was tried as a killer, charged as a killer, and freed as a killer. But in the second court, pleaded innocent of being a killer, not guilty of being a killer, yet in the second court you find him guilty of being responsible for their death. Now that is a distinction without a difference. Well, he can live, but there's compensatory damage. Why should he pay damages for a crime he didn't commit? Well, he lied. He said he didn't beat her. But wait a minute. See, that's a trick. If he said he beat her, then they were going to justify compensatory damage. So he slipped around it and said, I'm responsible. He didn't say I beat her. They showed pictures of her bruise. Brought her diary in where nobody could question the diary. I mean, you know, white folks, you all are hurt. Now, the judge probably beat his wife. And all of you that beat your wife, you need to stop that. No real man will beat a woman. So if you got to beat her, you should leave her. If you have wisdom, you should be able to cause her to submit to wisdom. But if you have to beat a woman to make her do what is right, then you shouldn't be there. Do you know how you look in front of your children? No man looks good in front of his children beating a woman. Somebody had an experience this past week. He's a Native American. And he was told that he had an experience of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was telling him to tell us that even verbal abuse of women is sometimes worse than physical abuse. And he was told to tell me, to tell you, to stop abusing your women verbally. Even though you don't strike her physically, but to just try to lash her down with the tongue. He said there should be unconditional love between us.
Yes, sir.
Let's get back to O.J. Now, I'm closing. The government can make a charge, whether it's state or federal, and the government and the state has more money than the individual. And the federal government certainly has more money than any individual. So they can charge you with a crime. But when they are unable to sustain their child, by that time you broke. Is that justice or injustice? If they can't sustain the charge, they should pay the legal fee. O.J. spent millions of dollars to prove his innocence. So once he was proven innocent, then the government, the state of California, should pay the bill. All expenses should be paid by the state of California. Now, Brother Gaddafi would like to help us. He's my brother. And I love him. And I really don't care what the enemy thinks about him. Here's a man that has been charged with a crime but has not been proved guilty. He's been charged with bombing Pan Am 103. But what you may not know, recently in the European press, it came out that there was involvement of South Africa in that bombing. It was in the Italian press, in the Austrian press, in the German press, but not in the British press, and not in the American press. How come? I'm going to send a letter to the United Nations, to the Secretary General, and I'm going to ask him to suspend sanctions against Libya and let those two men that are charged be tried at the International Court of Justice at The Hague under UN supervision. If they're guilty, then act. But why punish a nation of people for 5 years just because America's foreign policy says we must destroy Libya? See, this is a world of wickedness. And what I'm suggesting to you in my conclusion, we need to build a nation. I'm asking our brother, the Reverend Benjamin Chavis, who is now Minister Benjamin Muhammad. I think that with the help of Conrad Worrell, the nationalist community, men like Maulana Karenga and Haki Madhubuti, and all the members of the Hebrew Israelites and the church community that want to obey God, I think we ought to sit down now and let's form ourselves into a nation. I believe that our people are sick and tired of these enemies exercising sovereignty over us. And if we agree, I would like to, on your behalf, petition the United Nations to accept us as a new nation in the body of the United Nations. Since we have beaten our swords into pruning hooks and our spears into plowshares and have no weapons. We are the best nation to guide the nation to peace. It may seem like an embarrassment to America, but if you want to continue to be a slave master, we do not want to continue as a slave. So, I'm asking you, any time a government would go all out to kill our leaders, whom God gives us to guide us, lie on our leaders and bring them into court, and then send them to prison unjustly, that government is not our friend. That's a rogue government.
Yes, it is.
We just can't go along with this no more. What happened to Marcus Garvey? What happened to W.E.B. Du Bois? What happened to Paul Robeson? What happened to David Walker? What happened to Martin Luther King? What happened to Malcolm X? What happened to every black organization that was destabilized by the counterintelligence program of the U.S. government? You have proved the American government, not the American people and such, but the government, that you are our enemy. We don't have a worse enemy than you. Now God has come to make friends for us all over the world. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to me, he said, "Brother, God has made friends for you all the way around the earth, and at the proper time, you will know it." And after the Million Man March, I went all over the world in your name, on your behalf, and the whole world was proud of your work and our unity, cutting across religious and political lines. If we did it once, we have to do it again. Kwame, this is our dear brother, who has been on the battlefield for our people ever since he was conscious. And Kwame has been one of the most consistent leaders of our people. Kwame's life has been to see a united front.
And we're going to get it.
And we're going to get it. Brother Kwame, as a warrior is fighting cancer, he has all our prayers, but I can't see an independent nation without Kwame. I can't see an independent nation without Maulana. I can't see an independent nation without Conrad. I can't see an independent nation without church, mosque, synagogue, school, economic development. We're not talking church, we're talking nation. And so as I leave you, the government of America is sanctioning the nation. Peter King, a Catholic, doesn't want members of the Nation of Islam to work in security patrol, even though our unarmed patrols have brought about a measure of peace and tranquility, and crime drops murder drops, gang warfare drops, but they don't care nothing about that. They snatch the brothers out because they don't want government money, which is our own tax money, and money that you robbed our fathers of. You don't want it to come back to us. Well, Mr. Peter Kitt, you're lucky that I even call your name. But you're not worth it. But I want to inform Pete that His Holiness the Pope is now setting up diplomatic relationships with Libya and Muammar Gaddafi. Now, if the Pope, your spiritual father, Mr. King, can set up diplomatic relations with Libya, which one of you will say, Your Holiness?
All right now.
You shouldn't cavort with thugs and dictators and rogues. And next year, God willing, His Holiness intends to visit Fidel Castro.
That's right.
In Cuba.
That's right.
I went to Cuba. I went to Libya. I went to Iran. I went to Iraq. The Pope is entering into dialogue with Iranian Muslim scholars, Islamic scholars from all over the world. But I, as a Muslim, and being persecuted for visiting my own co-religionists. Today, the Pope called for an end to the embargo on Cuba. Now, what are you going to say, America?
All right. Come on.
This will be the Pope.
Well, I tell you, they don't want us to have friends outside of America unless they dictate the terms of friendship. God wants us to have friends all over the world. And as you saw today, all of them are speaking to you kindly. And they recognize your value in the struggle for justice. May Allah bless you. I ask you as I leave you, how many of you are ready to form yourself into a nation in obedience to the will of God? Stand up on your feet. Well, remember that song we used to sing in the church? God is going to move this wicked race and raise up a nation that will obey. I want to be a part of a nation that is obedient to God. And that's what I've asked Reverend Chavis and all the pastors. Let's unite. Let's revive the church. Revive the mosque. Revive the temples and synagogues. Let's revive the black community, the Hispanic community, the Native American community. And let's make a nation obedient to God.
Make a motion.
I made the motion, do you second it?
I second the motion! I second the motion!
Now, wait, before you go. I got to ask you something. Listen. They're trying to close us off from all funds. Where's that final call? I want to ask 1 million people to set aside a donation of $50, which will give you a 1 year subscription to the final call and a card with your name and number on it that will allow you for 1 year to purchase all my tapes, video and audio, and books at a substantial discount. The reason I say donation is because that keeps us out of difficulty. But my word is my bond to you. I want 1 million people to subscribe to the final call. But if you just give me a $50 donation, you know how they do it on Channel 11? You got to help me. I don't ever ask for money. If you notice, all the years you see me teach, I don't ever ask for money. I got to get out of that bad habit. I have to ask, because if you don't help me, they won't help me, and they don't want my brothers overseas to help me. So what I'm asking is 1 million persons, listen, make out a check for $50 and send it to the Nation of Islam, care of Louis Farrakhan. 4855 South Woodlawn Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60615. That will give the nation $50 million to pursue economic development. But on a broader scale, a Christian pastor came to Reverend Bevel and wrote out a check for $1,000 and told him to come to me and said, tell Farrakhan to ask for 1 million people to give $1,000 and we will have $1 billion for economic development. Now the nation is a nucleus inside a nation. I want you, if you had that $1,000, send it again to the $1 billion economic development plan. Now, I pledge that none of this money will be used for personal aggrandizement of anybody. This money will be used totally for the economic well-being and educational well-being of our people. I want to ask for members of the Hebrew Israelite community, for members of the nationalist community, members of the educational community, to become members of the board of advisors for the Final Call newspaper, that the Final Call will be reflective of the total community rather than reflective of the Nation of Islam as an institution. How many of you would agree that if nobody helps us, we ought to now help ourselves? Do you agree? So while you're standing, I think we ought to have prayer. I thank Allah for blessing this Savior's Day weekend.
Thank Allah for you.
I thank Him for
you
blessing us with your attendance. And above all, I thank Him for your wonderful attention. I thank Him for all of the ministers and leaders who are on this rostrum who honor me by your presence. I thank Him for the sisters, my wife, Mother Muhammad, and my dear sister Marsha. You look absolutely I thank all of those who receive awards because they are great servants of our people. Reverend Maxine Walker, Lionel Hampton, Catherine Dunham, Benjamin Chavis, Reverend James Bevel. I thank him for Kwame Ture. And I would like to ask our brother Tijani to come. As prayer is said, at the end of the prayer, I want you to stay at attention, because to end this, we will be blessed with the presence of our sister, Sister Kim Weston.
Yes.
Who is the first person I ever heard sing the Black National Anthem in a recording. She is now a member of the Hebrew Israelite community at Dimona. This is one of the finest spiritual communities you'll find anywhere in the world. A beautiful and beloved community of servants who believe in obeying God. I thank Allah for all of them.
And that was the end of the recording that we received. Again, that was from a speech made by Louis Farrakhan on Sunday, February the 23rd, 1997.
And we want to break it. Well, what do you mean responsible? If he's innocent of murder, how could he be responsible for their murder? In the courtroom in the second trial, the lawyer is calling him a liar. He's a killer. He's a murderer. Well, wait a minute. Say no judge didn't say, wait a minute, you can't say that because he's been, you know, called innocent of that. But the judge is saying, he's a murderer. He's a killer. Well, wait, if he's that, then we don't need compensatory damages, we need the gas chamber. But if he's not that, why you permit them to call him that? How could the judge accept that in a court of law? When in another court of law, he was tried as a killer, charged as a killer, and freed as a killer. But in the second court, pleaded innocent of being a killer, not guilty of being a killer, yet in the second court you find him guilty of being responsible for their death. Now that is a distinction without a difference. Well, he can live, but there's compensatory damage. Why should he pay damages for a crime he didn't commit? Well, he lied. He said he didn't beat her. But wait a minute. See, that's a trick. If he said he beat us, then they were going to justify compensatory damage. So he slipped around it and said, I'm responsible. He didn't say I beat her. They showed pictures of her bruise. Brought her diary in where nobody could question the diary. I mean, you know, white folks, you all are hurt. Now, the judge probably beat his wife. And all of you that beat your wife, you need to stop that. No real man will beat a woman. But if you got to beat her, you should leave her. If you have wisdom, you should be able to cause her to submit to wisdom. But if you have to beat a woman to make her do what is right, then you shouldn't be there. Do you know how you look in front of your children? No man looks good in front of his children beating a woman. Somebody had an experience this past week. He's a Native American. And he was told that he had an experience of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was telling him to tell us that even verbal abuse of women is sometimes worse than physical abuse. And he was told to tell me, to tell you, to stop abusing your women verbally. Even though you don't strike her physically, but to just try to lash her down with the tongue. He said there should be unconditional love between us.
Yes, sir.
Let's get back to OJ. Now, I'm closing. The government can make a charge, whether it's state or federal. And the government and the state has more money than the individual. And the federal government certainly has more money than any individual. So they can charge you with a crime. But when they are unable to sustain their charge, by that time you broke.
Yes, sir.
Is that justice or injustice?
Injustice.
If they can't sustain the charge, they should pay the legal fee. Right. O.J. spent millions of dollars to prove his innocence. So once he was proven innocent, then the government, the state of California, should pay the bill. All expenses should be paid by the state of California. Now, Brother Gaddafi would like to help us.
Yes, sir.
He's my brother. And I love him, and I really don't care what the enemy thinks about him. Here's a man that has been charged with a crime but has not been proved guilty. He's been charged with bombing Pan Am 103. But what you may not know, recently in the European press, it came out that there was involvement of South Africa in that bombing. It was in the Italian press. in the Austrian press, in the German press, but not in the British press, and not in the American press. How come? I'm going to send a letter to the United Nations, to the Secretary General, and I'm going to ask him to suspend sanctions against Libya and let those two men that are charged be tried at the International Court of Justice at The Hague under UN supervision. If they're guilty, then act. But why punish a nation of people for 5 years just because America's foreign policy says we must destroy Libya? See, this is a world of wickedness. And what I'm suggesting to you in my conclusion, we need to build a nation. I'm asking our brother, the Reverend Benjamin Chavis, who is now Minister Benjamin Muhammad. I think that with the help of Conrad Worrell, the nationalist community, men like Maulana Karenga and Hakim Madhubuti, and all the members of the Hebrew Israelites, and the church community that want to obey God, I think we ought to sit down now and let's form ourselves into a nation. I believe that our people are sick and tired of these enemies exercising sovereignty over us. And if we agree, I would like to, on your behalf, petition the United Nations to accept us as a new nation in the body of the United Nations. Since we have beaten our swords into pruning hooks and our spears into plowshares and have no weapons, we are the best nation to guide the nation to peace. It may seem like an embarrassment to America, but if you want to continue to be a slave master, we do not want to continue as a slave. So, I'm asking you, anytime a government would go all out to kill our leaders, when God gives us to guide us, lie on our leaders and bring them into court, and then send them to prison unjustly, that government is not our friend. That's a rogue government.
Yes, it is.
We just can't go along with this no more. What happened to Marcus Garvey? What happened to W.E.B. Du Bois? What happened to Paul Robeson? What happened to David Walker? What happened to Martin Luther King? What happened to Malcolm X? What happened to every black organization that was destabilized by the counterintelligence program of the U.S. government? You have proved the American government, not the American people and such, but the government, that you are our enemy. We don't have a worse enemy than you. Now God has come to make friends for us all over the world. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to me, he said, "Brother, God has made friends for you all the way around the earth, and at the proper time, you will know it." And after the Million Man March, I went all over the world in your name, on your behalf, and the whole world was proud of your work and our unity, cutting across religious and political lines. If we did it once, we have to do it again. Kwame, this is our dear brother who has been on the battlefield for our people ever since he was conscious. And Kwame has been one of the most consistent leaders of our people. Kwame's life has been to see a united front,
and we're gonna get it.
And we're gonna get it. Brother Kwame, as a warrior is fighting cancer, he has all our prayers. But I can't see an independent nation without Kwame. I can't see an independent nation without Maulana. I can't see an independent nation without Conrad. I can't see an independent nation without church, mosque, synagogue, school, economic development. We're not talking church, we're talking nation. And so as I leave you, the government of America is sanctioning the nation.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
Yes, it is.
Peter King,
yeah,
a Catholic, doesn't want members of the Nation of Islam to work in security patrol, even though our unarmed patrol have brought about a measure of peace and tranquility, and crime drops, murder drops, gang warfare drops. But they don't care nothing about that. They snatch the brothers out because they don't want government money, which is our own tax money, and money that you robbed our fathers of. You don't want it to come back to us. Well, Mr. Peter King, you're lucky that I even call your name. But you're not worth it. But I want to inform Pete that His Holiness the Pope is now setting up diplomatic relationships with Libya and Muammar Gaddafi. Now, if the Pope, your spiritual father, Mr. King, can set up diplomatic relations with Libya, which one of you will say, "Your Holiness,
all right now,
you shouldn't cavort with thugs and dictators and rogues"? And next year, God willing, His Holiness intends to visit Fidel Castro
That's right.
in Cuba.
That's
I went to Cuba. I went to Libya. I went to Iran. I went to Iraq. The Pope is entering into dialogue with Iranian Muslim scholars, Islamic scholars from all over the world, that I, as a Muslim, am being persecuted for visiting my own co-religion. Today, the Pope calls for an end to the embargo on Cuba. Now, what are you going to say, America?
All right. Come on.
Well, I tell you, they don't want us to have friends outside of America unless they dictate the terms of friendship. God wants us to have friends all over the world. And as you saw today, all of them are speaking to you kindly, and they recognize your value in the struggle for justice. May Allah bless you. I ask you as I leave you, how many of you are ready to form yourself into a nation in obedience to the will of God? Stand up on your feet. Well, remember that song we used to sing in the church? God is going to move this wicked race and raise up a nation that will obey. I want to be a part of a nation that is obedient to God. And that's what I've asked Reverend Chavis and all the pastors. Let's unite. Let's revive the church. Revive the mosque. Revive the temples and synagogues. Let's revive the black community, the Hispanic community, the Native American community. And let's make a nation obedient to God.
Make the motion.
I made the motion. Do you second it?
I second the motion.
Now, wait, before you go. I got to ask you something. Listen, they're trying to close us off from all funds. Where's that final call? I want to ask 1 million people to set aside a donation of $50, which will give you a 1 year subscription to the Final Call and a card with your name and number on it that will allow you for 1 year to purchase all my tapes, video and audio and books at a substantial discount. The reason I say donation is because that keeps us out of difficulty. But my word is my bond to you. I want 1 million people to subscribe to the Final Call. But if you just give me a $50 donation, you know how they do it on Channel 11? You got to help me. I don't ever ask for money. If you notice, all the years you see me teach, I don't ever ask for money. I got to get out of that bad habit. I have to ask, because if you don't help me, they won't help me, and they don't want my brothers overseas to help me. So what I'm asking is 1 million persons, listen, make out a check for $50 and send it to the Nation of Islam, care of Louis Farrakhan. 4855 South Woodlawn Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60615. That will give the nation $50 million to pursue economic development. But on a broader scale, a Christian pastor came to Reverend Bevel and wrote out a check for $1,000 and told him to come to me and said, tell Farrakhan to ask for 1 million people to give $1,000 and we will have $1 billion for economic development. Now the nation is a nucleus inside a nation. I want you, if you had that $1,000, send it again. To the $1 billion economic development plan. Now, I pledge that none of this money will be used for personal aggrandizement of anybody. This money will be used totally for the economic well-being and educational well-being of our people. I want to ask for members of the Hebrew Israelite community, for members of the nationalist community, members of the educational community, to become members of the board of advisors for the Final Call newspaper, that the Final Call will be reflective of the total community rather than reflective of the Nation of Islam as an entity. How many of you would agree that if nobody helps us, we ought to now help ourselves? Do you agree? So while you're standing, I think we ought to have prayer. I thank Allah for blessing this Savior's Day weekend.
Yes.
Thank Allah for you.
I thank Him for
you
blessing us with your attendance. And above all, I thank Him for your wonderful attention. I thank Him for all of the ministers and leaders who are on this rostrum who honor me by your presence. I thank Him for the sisters, my wife, Mother Muhammad, and my dear sister Marsha. You look absolutely I thank all of those who receive awards because they are great servants of our people. Reverend Maxine Walker, Lionel Hampton, Catherine Dunham, Benjamin Chavis, Reverend James Bevel. I thank him for Kwame Ture. And I would like to ask our brother Tijani to come. As prayer is said, at the end of the prayer, I want you to stay at attention, because to end this, we will be blessed with the presence of our sister, Sister Kim Weston.
Yes. Yes,
who is the first person I ever heard sing the Black National Anthem in a recording. She is now a member of the Hebrew Israelite community at Dimona. This is one of the finest spiritual communities you'll find anywhere in the world. A beautiful and beloved community of servants who believe in obeying God. I thank Allah for all of them.
And that was the end of the recording that we received. Again, that was from a speech made by Louis Farrakhan on Sunday, February the 23rd, 1997.